here's a story from The World.
Today is International Holocaust Remembrance Day, a grim reminder of the capacity for human cruelty when millions perished in gas chambers or simply from disease and starvation. Remarkably, at the time, some Jewish doctors actually documented what the Nazis inflicted on them and their fellow Jews, preserving it for others to one day find. One who did is Assistant Professor Mary Fitzpatrick of Tufts University, who studies nutrition and famine.
I was trying to find some new sources of evidence about extreme starvation. And I saw that there was a book actually in the basement of our library that I'd never heard of before.
The book was called The Disease of Starvation, Clinical Research on Starvation in the Warsaw Ghetto in 1942. The Conversation Weekly podcast recently featured Mary Fitzpatrick. She spoke with host Dan Marino about her discovery. And a warning, the subject matter may not be appropriate for all listeners. Please take care while listening.
So I went and pulled it off the shelf. And it was this crumbling little book. And its pages were just brown and brittle. And you could just feel the book deteriorating in my hands as I turned the page. I immediately knew from the foreword how precious this book was. And I opened it up and I started to read the foreword in it. And the foreword is written by the primary editor, Israel Milikowski. The torture of words. I've never felt it as strongly as now when I have to write an introduction to this work. This is an unbelievable moment, since the work was originated and pursued under unbelievable conditions. I hold my pen in my hand, and death stares into my room.
Israel Milikowski was one of a group of Jewish scientists and doctors who were living inside the Warsaw Ghetto.
He was in charge of the medical systems and trying to keep everyone healthy in the Warsaw Ghetto. He was the person who was the brains for all of this, who gathered everyone together and got everybody working.
The Nazis prohibited any sort of research or documentation of what was going on in the ghetto. But in spite of the dangers that doing research posed, a group of 23 Jewish doctors, including Milikowski, defied their captors and started to study what was happening to understand the biological impacts of starvation on their friends and themselves.
Most of the doctors in these studies were very influential, very well-known, very well-regarded medical doctors, researchers, instructors. They were leaders of medical schools.
The story of this book is really tied to the story of Nazi Germany. It began in 1939 when Nazi Germany invaded Poland. A year later, in 1940, the Nazis enacted pogroms against the Jews living in Warsaw. The result was forcing more than 450,000 Jews into a small walled-off area, just about 1.5 square miles, or 4 square kilometers.
And the Jews were not allowed to leave that area, even to go search for food.
Conditions quickly deteriorated. Eventually, many of them started starving to death.
So you have this very, very, very densely populated part of the city. Sanitation was a real problem, and they had several typhus outbreaks. And when you have people living that closely together, if you're malnourished, you're so much more vulnerable to any of those diseases.
As the beginnings of World War II erupted, the German government instituted rationing, allowing Germans 2,600 calories a day. That's a pretty normal amount. Jews, however, were given just a tiny fraction of that.
The Jews were given actually a ration of 180 at one point. That's like half a cookie, right? It's nothing. So they had to survive by smuggling. So they would make little holes in the wall and little kids would go out and they would steal something, sell something, do anything, and then bring food back in. So most of the smuggling was actually done by children, but it was illegal. So if the children were spotted outside of the ghetto, then the Nazis would kill them. They would just shoot them outright.
Jews weren't allowed to document what was going on inside of the ghetto. I mean, these were war crimes after all. But they were, for some reason, allowed to perform autopsies. They did this using equipment that was often smuggled in. And by doing so, they were able to study the devastating effects of starvation on the human body.
People who were starving but had no other disease. So they knew what they were studying was pure starvation. It was not due to a disease. It was not due to illness. Because a lot of times it's hard to decide what is due to the starvation.
They found that the body would let certain less essential functions fade away in order to keep very important functions running.
So when the body doesn't have enough food coming in to meet your needs, what are the priorities that your body makes? Okay, so you don't need your hair. You're going to lose that. Your skin needs a lot of changing out of cells because they're constantly sloughing away, but that's a lower priority. Certain organs will be prioritized over others. The body will use your fat generally before it starts using muscle if it has enough protein coming in. So there's certain priorities in that, but on a metabolic level as well, there's other little priorities going on.
The doctors in the Warsaw Ghetto were certainly not the first people to ever study starvation. But to study it in such a thorough and, unfortunately, up-close way allowed them to make some very significant discoveries.
Some of what they discovered was this adaptation for vitamins. You would expect someone on just such a minimal diet to start showing vitamin deficiencies. So like if you don't have enough vitamin C, you get scurvy. If you don't have enough vitamin A, you get night blindness. We didn't see any of this. They didn't see rickets in young children. They did one experiment where they provided sugar to someone to see if the cells would still take up the sugar. And immediately the cells took up the sugar. And we understand that calories are very important. But they also showed that if you feed people too quickly, then the heart cannot cope because it suddenly you're building up that blood volume and this weakened heart cannot cope. And if this had been known when the concentration camps were liberated, it could have saved a lot of lives because the soldiers came into the concentration camps and they saw these starving people, the American soldiers, the British soldiers, the Allied soldiers. And of course they had compassion on them. They reach into their rations and they're giving people chocolate bars and all this stuff. And of course, people are like, oh, food, finally. And a lot of them just gorged themselves and then they died. So they survived all this starvation over years through the war and then died because they ate too much food too quickly.
It would be outrageously unethical to starve people in an attempt to understand how the human body adjusts to little or no food. And no one would know this better than the Jewish doctors and researchers living in the Warsaw Ghetto. They were living through and seeing starvation up close and personal. But it was for this reason that the situation they found themselves in was a unique research opportunity in a dark sense. They understood that they could be doing valuable work that would be unthinkable otherwise.
The work was incredibly valuable. The type of studies that they did on the type of people that they did, it cannot be replicated. When we go to somewhere where there's a famine and we see people that are starving to death, we don't just study them and allow them to starve to death to see what happens. We feed them. Right? So there's no other way for us to see what happens in those last moments, what leads to death. And that is the picture that they gave us in this book. They wanted to show the world what happens in starvation. They were scientists. So this is something they wanted to do. And I think they've succeeded in that. And they wanted to be immortal. They wanted something to live past them.
In July 1942, Nazi forces moved into the Warsaw Ghetto and destroyed the hospitals and other critical services. Many of the patients and doctors were either killed or deported to the concentration camps, and a lot of research was destroyed. With their own demise approaching, the remaining doctors spent the final days of their lives meeting secretly in the cemetery and put together their findings into a series of research articles that they bound together in a book. With the final deportations underway and his own death imminent, Milikowski wrote the following words to close out the book.
A last few words to honor you, the Jewish doctors. What can I tell you, my beloved colleagues and companions in misery? You are a part of all of us. Slavery, hunger, deportation. Those death figures in our ghetto were also your legacy. And you, by your work, could give the henchmen the answer. Non omnis moriar, which means I shall not wholly die.
Eventually, the doctors were able to smuggle this book out of the ghetto to a sympathizer who buried it in the cemetery of the Warsaw Hospital. Less than a year later, all but a few of the 23 authors were dead. After the war, the manuscript was dug up and taken to one of the few surviving authors, Dr. Emil Apfelbaum, and the American Joint Distribution Committee, a charity whose purpose was to help Jewish survivors. Together, they printed the 6 surviving articles and bound them into a book, along with photos taken in the ghetto. One copy of this book made its way to the basement of Tufts University, where the crumbling copy was waiting to be rediscovered by Mary Fitzpatrick.
The Nazis were trying to completely annihilate them, to erase their existence. And through this work, a piece of them would live on. And even now, as a scientist, I'm using their information. So in doing that, in continuing to contribute to our understanding of malnutrition, they're continuing to save lives 80 years on. I think that's an amazing legacy.
That was Professor Mary Fitzpatrick of Tufts University. She spoke with Dan Marino, host of the podcast, The Conversation Weekly.